This is TWiT.
Let's jump into the news. It's day three of the International CES show in Las Vegas. TWiT's own Father Robert Ballesaire is there and joins us from the Sands showroom. How you doing, Father Robert Ballesaire?
I'm pretty good. I'm sitting here amidst all the robots and the 3D printers, and I'm just kind of in geek heaven.
That robot behind you looks like it's going to suddenly flip out and crush everyone within reach. So I hope that you are a safe distance away. Let's talk about some of the big trends that are going on there. Of course, we've seen growing momentum behind both virtual reality and augmented reality. And I think the two are kind of merging into one sort of pseudo reality. What are you seeing there at CES around both virtual and augmented reality?
Well, this giant killer robot behind me, I'm at the ABB booth, is actually a really good example of augmented reality. This is like a selfie stick for virtual reality. This screen is actually tracking around the real world, and then it's showing you a window into a virtual world. So, you know, it's like the merging of virtual and the real. But on the more consumer-oriented sense, yesterday we stopped by the Razer booth, and they had an announcement about joining the open-source virtual reality group. They've got a $200 kit, a hacker kit, that is basically going to give everyone, all the makers, all the DIYers, access to not just the software, but the hardware to create their own VR/AR-enabled applications. So very exciting time for people who are working with VR.
Father, it seems like last CES and the CES before it, we've been talking about 3D printers and 3D scanners. What's different this year? Is 2015 the year they're finally going to take off and become more mainstream?
Yeah, it was, I think, just 3 years ago that everyone thought that 3D printers were going to take the world by storm, and it didn't really happen. Prices have come down, the quality has gone up, but still, 3D printers tend to be a bit clunky. Unless you're really good at what you do and you can CAD, if it's a 3D printer, it doesn't just print. You have to give it instructions. I think what's going to change the game are the advent of inexpensive and very precise 3D scanners. That's going to give you the ability to scan an object and then, with a minimum amount of knowledge of how CAD programs work, modify that object and reprint it. I think that's going to be the cornerstone moment for the 3D scanning / printing market, and that we're right in the middle of it.
Now, Padre, the buzz in TVs right now is resolution. Of course, most of us don't even have 4K TVs yet. At CES, we're seeing 4K, 5K, and even 8K TVs, which is great. You know, the more Ks, the merrier. But where's the content? How are they going to sell these devices if there's nothing to watch on them?
Mike, that's a perfect question. That's exactly what people are asking. Right now, there's a battle between 4, 5, and even 8K. There's a couple of show vendors who have 8K monitors or arrays, and they're beautiful. They're nice. I mean, I'm not going to lie. If you go up to them, the picture is vivid, and especially if it's got a curved screen, it's immersive. But, as you said, there's no content for it. There are a few channels that are giving you 4K content over the internet. There's a few sources of 4K content, but most of it is upsampled. So until that actually becomes the norm, those 4K, 5K, 8K screens are just going to be beautiful showpieces. Now, what has me very excited, and this is for the consumers, is with the battle going on at 4, 5, and 8K, 2K screens have basically reached parity with 1080p screens. So by the mid-year, you're going to see 2K, so that's 2560 by 1440 screens, at the same price as a good quality 1080p screen. That's where I think the battle is going to happen, because 2K content we can get very easily, and people can actually film it and have their own content on these beautiful high-definition screens that maybe aren't 4 or 5K, but are still much better than 1080p.
Father, you've got to talk to us about the Elio. Our producer, Jason, is super excited about this car. Tell folks who don't know a lot about it what it is and why all the excitement.
This is the American people wagon. This is the American people car. So the idea is they looked at what you needed for a car, and then they tried to take everything out of it. They tried to make it safe. They tried to make it performance-wise good for its price, but they didn't want it to be costly. What they came up with is a $6,800 car. It's a three-wheeler, one in the back, two in the front. It sounds funny, but if you sit in this thing, especially the version that they showed off this year, it's actually really comfortable. It's really nice. It's a two-seater in tandem. It gets 84 miles per gallon on the highway. It gets 49 miles per gallon in the city. You can get it with a Navi package that makes it fully decked out. So it's an internet car, which means that will report its health to whoever needs to know. It will tell you when it needs to be changed. It's got an entertainment system. It's one of these things that I think tinkerers will take to heart, especially since the crashworthiness of the vehicle seems to be showing that you can make a small vehicle that's as safe or safer than a large vehicle and far more efficient.
Padre, when can we buy that car?
It's not like Kickstarter, but they do pre-orders right now. They create them in their factory in I want to say Indiana. I know it's out west somewhere, out east. If you go to ElioMotors.com and you put in a pre-order, I do believe they are actually delivering, and you could try the future.
Wonder if they have overnight delivery. Okay, one last thing: Internet of Things, home automation. Which is winning out there at CES?
I think the honest answer is neither and both. The Internet of Things is home automation. Home automation is the Internet of Things. This idea that I can connect everything. All the announcements that we've heard this year, both from NVIDIA and Intel and all the major connectivity vendors, has shown that they want to put a chip in everything. Now, they haven't figured out the rules yet of what needs to be able to talk to what. They haven't figured out what operating system is going to dominate them all. But especially here in the Sands, I can just throw a rock and hit five different vendors who are offering you network-controlled locks and windows and doors and lights. Now, I think the winner, this is going to be surprising, is not going to be Apple, it's not going to be Samsung, it's not going to be LG, who have all thrown their hat into the ring. Right now, the winner is Belkin. Their Wemo modules are inexpensive. People are buying them by the bushel. And get this, they're working on modules that will allow the Wemo to talk to other modules, other Internet of Thing objects, and other home automation devices. So, who would have known it? Belkin's going to run your next smart house.